6:30. WRL News at 6 starts right now.
Breaking news, two men found shot dead inside a car off I-85. Sky 5 is over the scene, and our WRL crew arrived on the ground just moments ago. What they're learning right now.
UNC and Duke Health now requiring staff to be vaccinated. It's a move Players Retreat took months ago. But just how many healthcare employees will be impacted by this? We'll crunch the numbers for you ahead.
And decades of work and $1.3 billion. Now nearly a third of 540's outer loop is done. Only WRL rides along with highway engineers for a look at what to expect.
And we begin with breaking news at 6. Two men dead after a shooting on I-85 in Durham. Julian Grace is gathering details at the scene. Joins us live. Julian.
Well, David, I can't stress this enough. This is a very emotional scene out here. We're just off of Duke Street. I'm going to step away. Police are in the background. They are talking to family members. The vehicle in question is there just off the side of the road. Now, we're told this all happened just off of I-85. You can see the car there. There's a tarp over the car. Two men were found dead inside that vehicle. We're still trying to piece together more details on what may have transpired. Family members have arrived to the scene. They've been talking to police. They've been trying to get additional details. I've also spoke to a man here who says he was riding his motorcycle. He was just driving by. He saw the car. He saw the bullet holes. He didn't see what happened before that, but it was enough to make him stop. He says he then walked up to the car, and that's when he found two people deceased inside. He immediately called police to only find out that police had already been called and police were en route. We had Sky 5 here shortly after the call for help came in. You could just see the police presence around the vehicle in question here as detectives just start going door to door, trying to talk to neighbors to see if anybody heard anything, if anybody saw anything, if they have any clues. This is what we were able to do. We were able to talk to a family member who didn't identify the victim yet because police have not publicly identified the victim. But he gave us more insight on who one of the victims was. And we'll have a little bit more information for you, David, on what he has to say. But he just called this senseless, senseless, senseless. That's what he repeated over and over again. We'll have his interview for you later tonight at 7 o'clock. David.
Much more of this story continues to develop. Julian Grace reporting live. Thank you. And now to COVID, where the Delta variant is tightening its grasp on North Carolina. Thanks for joining us. I'm David Crabtree.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. Here are the three numbers you need to know as we head into the weekend. Hospitalizations in the state have doubled in just 2 weeks.
And what's worse, the number of daily new cases has nearly doubled in the past week alone. And more than 94% of those cases are happening to North Carolinians who are not fully vaccinated.
These numbers come as local hospitals push to require staff to be vaccinated. WRL's Keely Arthur is live in Raleigh, where she spoke with one business already requiring staff to have a COVID shot. Keely?
Deborah, if you want to eat inside a Players Retreat or work here, you have to have one of these, a vaccination card. The owner at Players Retreat tells me that implementing this was actually pretty easy, but the real challenge is going to come with these healthcare organizations because this decision to require vaccines will impact around 19,000 unvaccinated staff. Aside from a few unfortunate in-person incidents,
we had a guy show up at 1:30 in the morning, impaired. The guy was upset because he couldn't go inside and he threw a chair and we had to call the police.
And a few hundred comments online.
482 comments and like 90% of them were telling us we were setting up the first system of medical apartheid.
The decision to only employ vaccinated staff and only allow vaccinated patrons to be inside is one that Players Retreat owner Gus Guzzler says has helped his bottom line.
99% of what we hear is just thank you, thank you, thank you.
He says his staff was happy to comply too, but given the number of people employed by the major healthcare organizations in our area, getting everyone on board with the COVID-19 shot is a much taller order there.
Through voluntary vaccination efforts, we've been able to get more than 3/4 of our team members vaccinated, which is wonderful news. It's unfortunately not enough.
Based off of the numbers given to us by officials with the healthcare organizations, 2,000 people at Wake Med, 11,200 with UNC Health, and 5,500 employees with Duke Health are currently unvaccinated.
I think that they'd find that it's not going to hurt your business.
Yet not everyone is so sure. We asked you to weigh in on WREL's Your Voice, and many of you did, some hospital workers yourselves, not wanting to be identified.
I worked in a hospital setting for the last 18 months dealing directly with COVID patients and COVID patients' property. I have not contracted COVID. I should be able to make my own decisions as an adult.
And to be clear, we spoke with lawyers. They say the only way that staff can get out of being vaccinated is a proven religious or proven medical exemption. Now, UNC and Duke Health say staff needs to be fully vaccinated by September 21st. Wake Med hasn't exactly pulled the trigger quite yet, but they did tell us yesterday that they will likely require this. They just haven't set a timeline yet. Deborah?
Kaylee Arthur reporting live for us in Raleigh. Thank you, Kaylee.
Well, the number of hospitalizations continue to rise, and that's making staffing more important than ever. 817 people hospitalized this evening, 132 in the past 24 hours. 27% of adult COVID patients are being treated in an ICU, and new cases are also going up dramatically. Today, we learned 1,998 new cases, up more than 1,000 since Monday's report. Now, for context, the last time we were averaging this many cases regularly was in mid-May of this year or throughout much of last summer. Cases are still 77% lower than when we were at North Carolina's peak.
Now, if you've been waiting to get your shot, you can find a vaccine right now with the help of our shot finder. Just go to WREL.com and click the yellow bar on our homepage. Coaches are pushing back as lawmakers aim to disband the state's governing body of high school sports. The North Carolina Football Coaches Association unanimously passed a resolution supporting the NCHSAA. The North Carolina Coaching Association has done the same. You can read more about why lawmakers are acting right now on WREL.com.
Construction is more than a third of the way complete on the first phase of the decades-long and sometimes controversial project to complete 540, the outer loop around Raleigh. This $1.3 billion extension of the toll road will in fact connect Apex to Garner. Only WREL has given you a look of what it's going to be like to drive on that part of the road when it's finally open. Matt Tallhelm is live in Wake County to take us on a ride along with highway engineers. Matt.
David, those engineers tell me they've made the most progress on this spring since starting that construction back in 2019. Now, on a nice weather day like today, about 600 workers would be out here along this stretch. Construction is now 35% done on this stretch of roadway from here at 55 bypass and Apex down to I-40 and Highway 70.
It requires a ride with highway engineers. To get the kind of view of complete 540 you can't see from your commute.
They haven't seen a whole lot of major roadway construction out here.
Dennis Jernigan and Robbie Hoffman took WREL on a drive that detoured off-road onto the massive mounds of moved dirt that will become the six-lane expressway.
See the tops of those piles? You can get an idea of how 540 will go over this culvert and over those bridges once they're constructed over there.
This is the eastern end of the 18.5-mile first phase. The turbine interchange with I-40 and Highway 70 covers 500 acres.
You get on the turbine and you somewhat loop, but you're in somewhat of a circle. And so it's like getting into a roundabout.
Heading downhill from traffic on the interstate, crews test the strength of concrete to pour into a box culvert. 52 bridges will fly over streams and streets, including this one at Fannie Brown Road in Garner.
After the bridges are constructed, there'll be a lot of earthwork operations. And then within a year or so of that is when you'll really start to see the final pavement going down.
Flying above in Sky 5 shows that earthwork digging a route for the road between neighborhoods in Holly Springs. Hoffman tells WREL the project team is working with the community to keep them up to speed on construction coming through.
We're trying to be good neighbors with everything going out here and keep in mind that these people do have lives outside of just us building this project.
This phase should open to traffic in 2023. The Turnpike Authority estimates 60,000 drivers every day will go on that stretch. And there's actually a new timeline for the final phase, which will close that loop around Raleigh from Garner to Knightdale. Construction on that is now expected to start in 2026.
A lot of work yet to be done. Matt, thank you. And that turbine interchange Matt showed us will be the first of its kind in the Triangle. This is a rendering of what it will look like at 540, I-40, and Highway 70 in Garner. Longer ramps will funnel traffic into a circle, sort of like a giant roundabout. The project's engineer tells WREL it will allow drivers to continue along at 55 miles per hour to connect from one roadway to another instead of having to slow down as you typically do on off-ramps.
Interesting. A group of wolf shepherd hybrids are still on the loose in Orange County. It's been 11 days since we first learned they escaped. WREL Sarah Kruger reached out to Animal Services for an update on the search. They tell us they're trying new baiting techniques to lure in the dogs. They're also monitoring traps and investigating all reported sightings.
Well, the Olympics have begun, so do you know the athletes representing your hometown? Coming up this evening, Brian Mims will introduce us to some of the Triangle talent competing in Tokyo. Plus, a whole new approach to hurricane aid along the coast, how the DOT is now using drones in their emergency plans. Mike.
David, here's a look at the almost full moon last night from Tom Rain in Wake County. Tonight is the full buck moon. I'll tell you when and where to look for it and what else is happening in the night sky that you want to check out that's coming up.
From Tokyo tonight, triumph as the Olympic torch is finally lit a year late. Our look at the athletes to watch and a revealing interview with gymnast Simone Biles. Also in Florida, the emotional turning point as some of the heroes of the condo disaster go home on NBC Nightly News.
Local news coverage of the Tokyo Olympics brought to you on WREL by your Carolina Ford dealers.
It's finally here, the opening day for the Olympics, and we want to introduce you to some of our local names we'll be cheering for during the games. From swimming to diving to running, the Triangle and North Carolina are well represented in Tokyo. WREL's Brian Mims is live in Cary to show us the local athletes to watch. Brian?
Deborah, I am inside the Triangle Aquatic Center, where one of the youngest athletes spent years practicing for this moment. Right now, a meet is underway. Who knows, there may very well be some future Olympians in the house tonight. Well, let me introduce you to seven athletes in the Olympics to inspire them and to inspire us all.
And with that, a rising senior at Cardinal Gibbons High School propelled herself to Tokyo in the 100-meter butterfly.
Making the team!
She's 17-year-old Claire Curzan of Cary. After the Olympic trials, a jubilant crowd welcomed her home. Her coach at the Triangle Aquatic Center says after the trial, she just kept getting better.
I really strongly feel like she's got a much faster time in her.
While we're in the water, 21-year-old Andrew Capobianco of Holly Springs is also making a splash. He's competing in the 3-meter synchronized and individual diving events.
I'm just really grateful for all the support that I've gotten from back home in North Carolina and to New York. It's been pretty overwhelming, so I just want to say thank you to everyone.
From the water to the track, 20-year-old Randolph Ross of Garner is running in the 400-meter dash. His dad, Dwayne Ross, is his coach at North Carolina A&T.
Ran the second fastest.
This has been a dream ever since we've been growing up. This is as far as it gets in the track and field world, and this having the honor of going and representing your country.
Now to the women's 100-meter hurdles, where Gabby Cunningham, a 23-year-old former NC State track star from Charlotte, will sprint toward the finish.
She doesn't quit. She just does not quit. No matter what, no matter if it's a good day, it's a bad day, she keeps working.
And there's Kendra Harrison, Kenny, as she's known, of Clayton.
It's Kenny Harrison.
28 years old, she's also running in the 100-meter hurdles. It all feels especially sweet.
Harrison.
What a moment 29-year-old Quinera Hayes of Hope Mills gave us. She had her 2-year-old son on the track after she placed first in the 400-meter dash during the Olympic trial.
Oh, what a
beautiful moment.
And we'll see some high-flying stunts from athletes doing BMX freestyle. 21-year-old Justin Dowell of Fuquay Arena trained here in Holly Springs to be among seven BMX freestylers in Team USA.
I am extremely happy to be part of the team, but the job's not over yet. It's one more event left, which is the Olympics. I've been practicing every day, and I'm ready.
And this is the first time BMX freestyle has been an event in the Olympics. In all, North Carolina has five competitors in BMX in Tokyo. And it is loud here at the Triangle Aquatic Center because this meet is going on. But I got to tell you, swimming, diving, biking, running, North Carolina has the Olympics well represented.
Absolutely. Whatever. You have just ramped up my excitement. Brian Mims, live in Cary. Thank you, Brian.
We are following these local Olympic athletes and dozens more, and our extensive coverage includes the Olympic Zone, a series of half-hour specials bringing you closer to the action, the sights, and the athletes. Olympic Zone begins tomorrow night at 7:30 here on WREL. And if you missed it this morning, the opening ceremony, you can watch it in about an hour. It starts at 7:30 on WREL, followed by our late news.
The NCDOT is looking for new ways to get emergency supplies to isolated areas on the coast. This week, the Division of Aviation successfully test-piloted drone flights from Hatteras to Ocracoke Island. The first flight delivered a survival kit, blankets, and some food. The goal now is to increase the delivery size.
Just amazing. And Mike Mazza had a great day to fly today.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see the blue sky today after all that haze and smoke, David, we've seen over the past few days. Take a look at our cams. Sanford, look at all the blue sky. It's nice to see it back. Anchor, looking in a different direction than we normally do. You see not the haze and smoke we saw yesterday. The skies over Clinton look pretty good. And the Durham Bulls will be playing this evening. There's our Durham newsroom. We got you covered, Durham. And around the corner again, the DBAP, the Charlotte Knights are in town playing the Bulls. Tomorrow night is Christmas in July, so it should be fun over at the DBAP. And not all that bad heat-wise. We're closing in on the month of August. 84 right now at RDU. It feels like 86. That's the heat index. Feeling like 91 in Clinton. Your air temperature is 86. And it's been a pleasant afternoon for our northern neighbors. 82 right now in South Hill, 81 in Roxboro. And with the dew points being in the 60s, we expect our low tonight to be in the 60s again. We awoke to 66 in Raleigh this morning. That's our forecast low tomorrow morning. So if you're getting an early start, getting the boat ready, going out to area lakes, the weather looks really nice to start the day. Now, did you see the almost full moon last night? I know David did, and he said it was beautiful when it was on the rise. It will be officially full tonight at 10:36. It's called the full buck moon. Moon rises at 8:35. Look to the eastern, southeastern sky. And as it's rising, Mars and Venus will be setting in on the western horizon. So make sure you take a look in the opposite direction to see both Mars and Venus setting on the western horizon. Should be a pretty good evening to see that. Now this weekend it'll be hard to find rain, which is great because if you want dry weather for your outdoor plans, you've got it. 20% chance for rain tomorrow, 88, 91 on Sunday, a 10% chance for rain, and then on Monday about a 30% chance for a thunderstorm, 91 is the high. We have weak high pressure over us now. We'll have an east to southeast wind for the day tomorrow. Weather looks pretty good. It's just a 20% chance that some of these showers could make their way in. They'll likely fall apart before they arrive. And then during the day on Sunday, we'll see a few more showers and storms form off to the west. Before they get here, they should fall apart as well. So we really don't expect much in the way of rain both days. Our forecast tonight, it will be pleasant. Mid to upper 60s the low, 66 in Raleigh, 67 Fayetteville, 65 for Roxboro, and 64 for South Hill. And tomorrow, like today, will be in the upper 80s to perhaps low 90s in Fayetteville with partly cloudy skies. 7-day forecast. It gets a little bit warmer for Sunday and Monday. Highs in the low 90s. We've got another front coming in Tuesday. It's not going to completely move through. It will bring a decent chance for rain Tuesday. And David, by the time we get to Thursday of next week, 94 is our forecast high, and that's the warmest we've had so far this year at RDU.
All right. Hopefully people will get out and enjoy that full moon tonight. It will be beautiful. Chris Lee here now, and COVID continues to impact sports, doesn't it?
It's amazing that it's still been going on for this long. The NC Courage are looking to bounce back from two straight losses, but they received some bad news before tonight's game. Ahead in sports, members of the team in quarantine because of COVID-19, how many and how it impacts tonight's game. Next. It's been a trying season for the NC Courage in stretches, and their season just got a little bit more challenging. The team announced that ahead of tonight's game, two players have tested positive for COVID-19. The team didn't specify which two players, Two more players are considered close contacts, and all four are currently in quarantine. Tonight's game against Kansas City on the road is still scheduled to go on, but without those players. The Courage have dropped two straight games before this. Their game tonight begins at 8 o'clock. As the NFL is approaching their next season, the league now has 80% of their players vaccinated, with nine teams having 90% or more of their players vaccinated. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell notified all 32 teams that regular season games could be forfeited due to a COVID-19 outbreak among non-vaccinated players, and that all players would not be paid for those lost games if that were the case. Today, our local football coaches got together, and this time it was for charity. The NFF Dooley chapter held their annual pigskin preview today and auctioned some football helmets off, raising almost $20,000 for charity. The coaches say they were happy to team up for the community this time.
I mean, we all respect each other. Obviously, we're competitors, and we want to beat each other in every way possible on the field and in recruiting. But when it comes to helping our state, I mean, there's no animosity between us. We all want what's best for the state of North Carolina.
But to have a little fun with the coaches in the area, why not? You know, we all need to remember we're in it for the right reasons, for the same reasons.
The Carolina Hurricanes are looking forward to the NHL draft beginning tonight, but the fans are looking for answers. The team shockingly traded rookie goalie Alex Nedeljkovic to Detroit yesterday. 99.9 The Fan's Adam Gold says the trade is the least of the Canes' worries because they have other holes to fill.
But they still have to replace not only Dougie Hamilton, assuming they don't re-sign him, and I think it's very doubtful that they will. They'll probably need two more NHL defensemen, not to mention they're going to have to fill out a forward group. That is, they already lost Morgan Geeky, not that he's a huge piece, but he's a piece. And they need to get tougher to play against with this, the whole thing we talked about, you know, for a few years. They need to become more difficult to play against, and I still think there are a lot of moves that this team will make.
They'll pick 27th overall, but this pick is more so for the future. They have a lot to do to worry about 2021, 2022 in the offseason before the season begins.
A lot of changes on the way. Chris, thank you.
And thank you for joining us this week. NBC Nightly News is up next. Lester Holtz live in Tokyo with a profile of the amazing Simone Biles.
Then stay with us for our news at 7 o'clock. Julian Grace will have the latest on that double shooting on I-85 in Durham.
After that, the Olympic opening ceremony all over again. Have a great